Welcome to Beneath the Calm. Thank you all for joining us here today. My name is Jacinta Yang. I'm your host. I'm also a host of a podcast on Spotify, Self-Aware Soul, and also YouTube channel at Jacinta Healing Arts. I'm a holistic practitioner and an author and also a floral designer. This space was created for us to come together and have conversation about life matter, where people can come together and share stories and insights in overcoming life challenges. So we have in the past few episodes, we've talked about the healing and transformation through the Healing Journey program that I offer. And we talk about healing and spirituality. And today we have a very special guest, Dr. John Stewart, who also was one of my client who joined the Healing Journey program, someone who has spent many of his life as a medical doctor, where it's all strictly science and logic, and I guess he entered into the world of spirituality with me. So we're gonna ask him how was that for him. So, Dr. John Stewart, welcome to Beneath the Calm, and thank you for joining us to share your story. So let's talk a little bit about you. Tell me about yourself, your practice, your scientific-based mind, and how we walked into this path of spirituality.
Thank you, Jacinta. I appreciate the opportunity of joining you today. There are so many places to start, but I think that we can start with my journey as being very traditional. I started with, I was born into a medical family. I ended up going to medical school. I have had a full family practice from cradle to grave, really. I delivered babies. I looked after emergency patients. I looked after people in hospital, in my office. I looked after the nursing home, right down to palliative care at the end of life. I have been involved in scientific research, both local community research and even global research. And as true in medicine today, traditional medicine, nothing is considered truth unless it is proven in a randomized controlled trial. So for me, stepping outside the box of needing proof for everything I do has been quite a journey. You were part of that journey at the beginning, and with your guidance, I became aware of some previous lives. I had some connection with relatives, especially my father, who had deceased previously. I learned that there was far more than what I had experienced, and especially on top of what my patients had taught me for decades about their near-death experiences, their faith, and how their faith improved their medical outcomes. So you opened up a door, and then I've had a series of similar instances and connections, with each one confirming the previous. So for my poor left scientific brain, I am comforted by the repeated experiences and connections with a number of different people with different skills, different gifts, all coming into the same area. It allowed it to be an area open to my exploration as well. So that's sort of the background. I come to this as a scientist. But now that barrier is pretty
Changing.
much gone. It's very much changing daily, weekly. It's constantly changing. I'm not even sure where the boundaries are for me anymore. I'm not
Well,
sure if
I
there
guess
are
you.
any or if they need to be any.
So when you first started your session with me, and I was able to see your past life, and I shared them with you, what were your thoughts? What did go went through your mind? Like, did you think, oh my God, what is this?
Yes, that was part of it. It was a mixture of thoughts. I didn't really know what to expect, although you had been recommended to me. There was a mixture of, whoa, this is different. And yet there was something that resonated. And you certainly shared some things that you wouldn't have known otherwise. And so that was part of that resonance that made me choose to open up my, I guess, willingness to explore beyond my traditional boundaries. So it was clearly a key part of my early journey in this last 5 years.
So you're saying that because I really didn't know you and your life, and I was able to share some things about you that I should not have known, and only you knew what that was, although I don't always remember how the session goes. As a channel, I don't always remember what I channel, so I don't recall what I channeled for you at that time during our session, but with sometimes when I see vision, some of those I do remember. So I do
Yep.
have some recollection of the vision I've seen through with the past life, but not entirely all of them. And I recall that when I what I do recall is saying that now your journey is just starting. And you say, well, I'm just almost semi-retired, and I don't know if I'll have the energy to do the work that you're telling me to do. So, how do you feel about that now?
It resonates truth. And I have heard that same message now from multiple people with different spiritual gifts. And I can feel it. In my own practice, I have been able to bring change and healing to my patients in a way that is very unique. And it is making a difference in people's lives. And so I know that I have to somewhat protect my semi-retirement and my energy, but I can't stop doing this. I believe now actually I need to teach others what may be possible by adding this aspect of spirituality to traditional medical science.
Basically, blending both
Yep.
worlds, the logical world and the
Yes.
spiritual world.
There was one other person relatively recently that told me that for much of my medical career, I've just been in training for what I'm doing now.
True.
And so I don't know how long this now is going to last, but opportunities keep presenting, and so I'm just going to let it be.
Yeah,
I'm going to be
actually just.
guided. I'm going to be guided.
And I recall too that you sharing after a few sessions that we had. You mentioned that you've been incorporating spirituality into your practice and you felt that you had a stronger connections with your patients. Can you share that, please?
Sure. The beginning went back perhaps about 35 years when I learned how to do hypnosis. As I look back now, that was not a coincidence that I took that weekend course, but so I have had experience in hypnosis and regression for 35 years. What I discovered in the fall of 2020, I had a patient in regression go to a previous life. That was astounding for me. And as skeptical as I was, I kept seeing that person And with that one particular person, we've been to six or eight different lives, each one bringing an aspect of healing, but also each one bringing an aspect of teaching for me as to what is possible. Through that, I've learned that I can ask, just simply ask, to connect to a person's guiding spirit and ask the guiding spirit to take us to whatever trauma or memory needs to be addressed and resolved for them to carry on without the typical fear, anger, guilt, or sadness that people get as a result of trauma. And what I mean, I had a couple of patients doing my traditional approach before that. One of them in particular took twice a month for 5 years to resolve all of the trauma. And now I'm able to accomplish that with this extra spiritual layer in a much shorter time frame. And I'm guided towards the critical incident that triggered the pain or the discomfort they're feeling in this life. And oftentimes that triggering event is in a past life. And change in those people in a short period of time is dramatic. So it's still a mixture of traditional psychotherapy and this new spiritual regression, if you want to call it that. It's incredible for me. Absolutely incredible.
So, when you see the result, did you ask yourself what just happened?
Oh yeah. Oh yes. I mean, I had, and this particular story is in my book, so I can share this person's information. I have the permission to do so. But this person regressed back to a life on the coast of England, maybe in the 1700s, working as a barmaid, and was taken on board ship to serve the sailors. And yet, even though she was tied up with her hands above her head in between shifts, she was never harmed. That's the deeper part of the story. But we released the bonds that held her arms, and the next day she'd been never able to wear a watch or a bracelet or anything. She sent me a photo the next day wearing a huge honking sports watch on her wrist that she'd never been able to do in her entire life. It was that traumatic, that cellular memory. So that's just a little peek at that
So,
world.
we're going into break and we'll come back and share some more stories. Cute.
Thank you.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to Beneath the Calm. Thank you for joining us today. Today, our topic is all about how we, when we incorporate spirituality into our lives, in this logical, scientific world, how it changes. So Dr. John Stewart here, who has been a medical doctor, MD, for many years, leaning all in the left brain, now actually the right brain is getting involved. So it's been quite a journey for him, and we're so happy for you to be joining us here today, share your story and your transformation or your journey from the logical to the spiritual world. So, Dr. John, I like to ask you about intuition. I usually teach clients, and I also host workshop in tapping into intuition. But in reality, what I truly believe is that we all have a spiritual guide that is guiding us on our daily lives. If we are willing to listen, we can really hear them. And they are there to help us, guide us through our life challenges. And they do help us make things easier for us. But of course, in a logical world, for us to say you have a guardian angel or spirit guide is like something that, you know, they can't make sense. So that's why I use the word intuition, which is a little bit easier for them to, I guess, accept that word intuition. But for me, I would say intuition is really our guide, our inner guidance that guide us through our way. And I believe we touched on this topic during your sessions with me. Would you like to take us back to that?
Sure. Let's cover a few things. Early in 2021, I had a patient who asked me if they could ask me questions. And I said, sure, that's okay. She wanted to know if I could see lights around me. And I said, no. She wanted to know if I knew that I was surrounded by angels. And I said, no. And she just very matter-of-factly said, well, you are. The main one is Raphael, and there are others. They've always been with you. But now they're teaching you to heal from the heart. You've been healing from the head. So that was a big statement coming from somebody that I had just met, first interview, whatever. But in thinking about that aspect of these guides being with me, I go back maybe 35 to 40 years ago, maybe more. I made a diagnosis of an ectopic pregnancy in a lady who was going to be leaving the country on a trip, a holiday for a couple of weeks. And just through an off chance comment to me with no medical information or whatever, I knew that I had to see her before she left. So I said, look, I need to see you tomorrow before you leave. I would just make a space for you. So I saw her the next day. Examination wasn't particularly helpful, but I did do an ultrasound. Ultrasound in those days was in its infancy. It wasn't as accurate. Radiologist phoned me back to say, yeah, I see an ectopic pregnancy. It's very early. It's only 5 weeks. So I phoned the obstetrician specialist, and I told him what I found and would he see the patient. And he was condescending, to be fair. And he said, there's nothing. There's no history. There's no, you know, you don't have anything here. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll see her. I'll do a laparoscope. I'll have a look inside. She'll be groggy from the anesthetic, but she'll be able to take her holiday and enjoy it. Everybody will feel more confident. So we did that. And as soon as he put the scope into the abdominal cavity, the ectopic pregnancy ruptured. Had that happened during her trip, she would have died. And I look back now and I know that this was not my medical skill, in from the human world at least. It was intuition, as you like to call it, guided. My spirit guides were whispering in my ear unknowns to me, but they whisper strongly enough to do this. And I've made other diagnoses over the years that there wasn't enough information there. I was part of a teaching practice. If I'd had a resident with me that day, I should have, in most situations, been able to turn the resident to the resident and explain, when you see these things together, always ask those questions or do this test. I couldn't have done that in these situations. So these guides have been with me all the way along.
Yes, and you were actually
training
in, you were actually in your spiritual journey, only was not aware of it. Even like myself, I've been on the journey, but it was the logic always talking and, you know, leading. But then when you finally actually accept it and you go back and you can see that there were many occasions that you actually listened to them, but just was not aware of it.
Even as a teenager, I went to university. I had 2 years in an honors biology program. I applied for medicine, but my father was a surgeon. He worked so hard. I thought it was crazy to get up in the middle of the night for 3 or 4 hours and still work the next day. I thought, I'm never going to do anything like that. And so I applied to medicine because I didn't know anything else. I grew up in that medical family. And it was the mail strike. And so they couldn't send me a letter. They phoned me and said, I was within arm's reach of the telephone when it rang to say that there was a space for me in the medical program. Did I want it? And my first response was, when do you need to know? I really hadn't decided on that. And then, of course, they said, well, we have a long list of people who do want this position. I said, thank you, I'll take it. I think that was one of those moments where my pathway was set. But also, I think my guides were whispering to me then, take the place. Take the place. This is what you're supposed to do. Listen to us. And that reminds me of one intervention with a patient under regression, talking to the guiding spirit. And often I'll ask the guiding spirit, is there a message for me to help me treat this patient more effectively? And the message from the spirit guide was, tell her to listen. We've been talking to her for the last few weeks. She's not listening. Tell her to listen. Tell her to go to the lake and meditate, so she'll hear us. So I think our spirit guides get frustrated with us from time to time if we shut down.
But the thing is, you were actually already listening, only you weren't even aware that you were. But now when you think about it and trying to put together, okay, yeah, that didn't make logical sense, but I still did it anyways. So technically, like someone said, that you are in training in the medical field to be able to do what you're doing today. Now, I know you've been doing past life regression and take people into past lives. I'm also a past life regression therapist, and when I do take people to their past life, I'm actually able to see what they see along with them. Are you able to see that?
No, not yet. I've been told that I will get the gift of visualizing at some point in my journey.
Mm-hmm.
My approach is still pretty traditional.
Mm-hmm.
I use what would be called an emotional bridge, and I would ask the guiding spirit to take us back to the first time that the patient felt this fear, the anger, the sadness, whatever that emotion was. And what is unique in the way I approach things, I don't need to see all the details of what happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
This can be particularly helpful even in this life if you're treating someone who's a survivor of sexual abuse. I can go back and examine the abuse or the series of abuses. The patient doesn't have to relive them.
Mm-hmm.
We can still resolve the emotional impact and the harm without mm-hmm. them having to relive. Or in a previous life, they don't have to relive. So in that way, it is not a disturbing journey for the patient.
Mm-hmm.
But if I could see what you're seeing, that would be amazing. That would be another way for me to get to the answer more quickly. Mm-hmm.
I don't ask for it. It just happens for me. I just see. But as a past life regression therapist, we don't tell them what we see. We let them share what they see, and then basically I can confirm certain things that they have seen. But otherwise, it's not something that I ask for. It just happens. It's like even when I did a session with you, it just, the vision just comes. So I just wondered if you were able to see something like that.
Myself, but you bring up an interesting point in that whatever knowledge we gain as a therapist, we have to be careful how much or how quickly we share that with the patient.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a patient who came to me many years ago with an abusive trauma, and they decided that they wanted to know details. And so we did that. We went back to that trauma and explored it. I can't now remember what we found out, but I allowed the suggestion that they would remember when it was the right time for them. And if they were comfortable, they could remember right away. We could talk about it when the hypnosis was finished, or they could talk about it a later time when we were together and they were comfortable, or they could simply remember when they were alone and feeling safe. And when they came out of that hypnosis, this patient really wanted to know what they said. And I said, I can't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And they were angry with me, but that's why I came to see you today. I said, no, I can't. If I tell you, this is what I set up. If I tell you I have destroyed your trust, if I destroy that trust, I can no longer help you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 40 years later, that patient is still seeing me, still trusts me. And but that allowing the patient or client, however you want to term that, to remember in their time when mm-hmm. they are ready, when it is safe for mm-hmm. them, I think is really important
mm-hmm.
that they don't be overwhelmed with mm-hmm. more than they're ready mm-hmm. to handle.
So we're going to be going into a break, and we'll come back and continue this lovely story.
Okay. Misalignment within your sales team or with the client stalls deals and creates unnecessary friction for you and the client, resulting in up to 37% lower win rate. If you're in pre-sales, sales, sales management, or sales enablement, and you'd like to increase revenues, win rate, margins, client satisfaction, and stay competitive, this show is for you. Hi, I'm Art Fromm, host of the Making Seamless Sales Show. Please join me live Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Have you ever wondered what truly lies beneath the calm? I'm Jacinta Yang. Join me every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Talk Radio NYC as we explore healing, self-discovery, and space where science meets spirits to help you find peace in a busy world. Take a deep breath and tune in to Beneath the Calm, where every conversation guides you back to the calm within.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Thank you. Welcome back to Beneath the Calm. Today's topic is on science meeting spirits. Personally, myself, for years, I would say I did operate from left brain. And although I, as an empath, I had an empathic gift of sensing and feeling outside of this normal, realm, as we all call it. I used to like to argue it. I used to like to not believe in it, but yet I knew I always followed the guidance and have worked with it. Yet there were still many times that I felt that I needed an explanation. I need some logical explanation, and I need to understand this. I need to understand that. And those friends who has been on the spiritual journey for much longer than I have said to me, Jacinta, how many years you've been already working with this spirituality in your practice, and you see the results? Why do you need an explanation? Why do you need to know? Just let it go and trust. And I think I've done the same thing with Dr. Stewart, and say, okay, there's no explanation. And I know I have a lot of clients telling me that can't explain that, but it works. So we just accept it. So there have been many, many of my clients' spouses who are totally skeptical of my practice and used to make fun of them for coming to me. But as time passes, they see the result, a positive result, and it blows their mind. And then they have no choice but say, hey, you know, I like the result, so it doesn't matter what she does. So I just like to ask you, Dr. John, I want to thank you again for sharing, coming here, sharing your story, you know, from your left brain to the right brain. And you have been doing past life, or actually I should say, you've been doing hypnotherapy for some time. And that's when you stumbled upon this past life. Now, fast forward to today. How do you approach this hypnotherapy? Do you actually approach it the way you used to, or you actually do take the patient to past life, or you just allow it to happen the way it does?
Question. And, you know, a thought in the back of my mind that you also opened the door to remote healing, so we can talk about that a little bit later. What I do now at the beginning of hypnosis is pretty traditional. I do an induction. I take the patient to a safe place. And when they're there, however, I now routinely ask them to open their heart and their awareness and their spirit to the presence of their guiding spirit. And probably 90% of the time, they will nod their head to say, yes, I'm aware of the presence of my guiding spirit. Then I ask permission to speak directly to the guiding spirit. And in the few people who don't have that awareness, I'll ask them. I've learned I can ask them anyway. Even if you're not aware of that presence, may I speak directly to your guiding spirit anyway? And that answer is, it's almost always yes. And then I will take the next steps by focusing on questions to the guiding spirit and ask this patient, I may share some observations of what I see in the patient. I'll ask the guiding spirit, am I correct? Is this what's going on? Is this patient doing well in this area but not so well in that area? And that brings me confirmation. And then I'll at some point ask, is there a memory that we need to understand so that we can resolve some of this pain or dysfunction? And usually it's focused around the four primal emotions of fear, anger, guilt, and sadness. And most of the time, that answer is yes. And I'll ask, when I ask the question, I'll say, it doesn't matter whether it's in this life or a previous life, but we need to go to the beginning of the problem or the root cause of the problem. Because I think that once you resolve the root cause, everything after that resolves. And then if I get a yes answer, I'll ask, can you take us there? Will you nod the patient's head when they're there? Would you protect them, please, so that they can see what's happening in that trauma, but they don't have to feel it. They don't have to be afraid. They don't have to be upset. They don't have to feel it again, but they can learn from it and understand it. Can you do that for me? And I'll get a yes. And I'll often ask, is there fear? Is there anger? Is there guilt? Is there sadness? And then I work with each one of those things individually. I may ask questions around circumstances. Are they alone? Are they with one other person? Are they with many other people? Are they a child? Are they adult? Just because I don't have your gift of seeing what's going on, I have to play 20 questions. But I don't need to know a lot of detail. I may get enough of a detail and an understanding to be able to say, you know, I think, guiding spirit, that the anger or the fear from this incident is no longer valid. I think it can be released. Am I right? I'll often get a nod of the head, and I'll say, will you work with me? I often invoke my own guiding spirit team to be with them. I often ask that the patient be taken to a place where they're floating in pure divine light, encompassing unconditional love, healing, forgiveness, and truth, because I don't believe that really darkness and shadow can exist in the spectrum of divine light. So with all of these things building up, I'll offer just a simple, I'm going to count to three and clap my hands. Will you help the patient release, for instance, the fear that they've had? I get a nod of the head, and I'll do that, and I'll clap my hands. And will you just nod the patient's head for me when that fear has been released? And then I'll ask if there's any other memory that we need to go to. Sometimes there's a long pause, and I've learned to ask, that's a very long pause. It makes me suspicious that there is something else, but maybe it's for another day. Almost always I get an immediate yes. There is something else, come back, but not today.
Mm-mm.
So it's like cheating.
Mm-hmm.
Looking up the answers in the back of the book.
And well,
all I'm doing is being the medium, I guess.
Yeah. So the when you bring them back, do you guys do you and your patient go over the session at all?
If they remember.
Okay.
And often I will say before we come out that so and so will be able to remember as much or as little as is best for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's always the patient choice. And sometimes they will share details of what they've seen, what they've felt, detailed beyond what I was able to ascertain. So it fills in my curiosity gap, if you like. Sometimes they remember nothing, but they just feel lighter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happened, but I just feel easier. Or I was surrounded by pink light or green light. So the individual response is unique. There's no set pattern. Some people remember a lot of details. Some people will speak to me. And that's easier if I don't have to play the 20 mm-hmm. question guesses as much. And I will often ask, is there a message for the patient? And they'll receive a message, and then they'll, will you help them remember it so they can tell that to me afterwards? Or can you use their voice? Can you tell me what the message is? Sometimes mm-hmm. that works.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one remarkable, I just throw this in. I'd taken somebody back and we'd gone through a past traumatic memory. I asked if there was anything else to review or understand today, and that answer was no. And so I remember I said to the guiding spirit something along the lines of, well, that makes me think that the most important lesson for this patient is simply just to learn to love themselves without reservation and accept themselves without judgment. With just the very briefest of pauses, they spoke this patient was able to speak the answer, that is the only lesson. And that's been profound. So that, I think, was as much for my learning as it was for the patient, because now I incorporate that as part of the journey under hypnosis, is to do some self inner child work to get them to the point of loving themselves without reservation, accepting themselves without judgment. I think that's a big part of the healing.
So when we met, it was during the lockdown, and of course we did remotely. I did remote healing, and remote healing is actually very powerful. Like I know, I have seen and witnessed, I've experienced this with clients that I've not met, and to see the transformation in their lives is amazing too. So when we first met, now, how did your left brain process this whole remote healing and my visions? So what went through your brain?
The immediate first reaction is, yeah, sure. Like, you know, if there's no random controlled trial, if you can't measure the outcome, who knows? You know, and you know, and I read an article, a patient sent me an article recently about hypnosis and regression just being kind of a fantasy of the hypnotherapist, that it's not real and whatever. But I've seen so much that I am not offended by that anymore. But the remote healing, there are a couple of things. You gave me some instruction and went through a few steps of a course that you gave on that remote healing. And I've been using it. I use it. I do a meditation, and I check twice a day now for patients who are in what I call my healing circle. I send remote healing to them regularly. And I had a session with one of my patients who I was talking to their guiding spirit, Amy, and that's in my book as well. Something came up about my remote healing, and I said, I'm not even sure. I was talking to Amy now. I can't tell whether it's doing anything. And Amy's response was, you won't ever know unless you connect with them within a short time frame. But it is working. Don't stop doing it. Mm-hmm. Keep doing what you're doing. So I get messages like this. And this patient is just a non-believer, doesn't believe in God, is hated God his whole life. So it's not as if this was a believer in either religion or spirituality. And yet this is the message I got through this person. Don't stop doing it. It works.
We're going to go into break shortly, and we'll come back and talk a little bit more about remote healing.
Okay.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a purpose-driven individual looking for deeper healing, clarity, and growth? Welcome to the Expansion Room, a transformative space for purpose-driven individuals. I'm Siobhan Lurice, host, licensed therapist, and coach. Join me every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to Beneath the Calm, a space where we talk about Have you have conversation about life matters, about healing and spirituality? And today we are talking about how to incorporate spirituality into healing and the power of healings that is amplified by spirituality. A lot of times, even when people are struggling, those who may not believe in spirituality or may not believe in God, but when life throws them into a corner, at some point or the other, people will say, "Oh God, help me." So I'm pretty sure, I feel, I'm speaking from my, I think a lot of people that may not believe, but still they can't help but say, "I hope," or just calling out to higher power for some guidance, for some help. So for me, I would say that I've been on the spiritual path since I was at a very young age, but I wasn't quite sure that I really was, because like most of us, we operate from a logical brain and we carry on for many years. But life happens, situation happens that will actually take us into that journey, whether we want it to or not. As Dr. John Stewart here mentioned, that he's been, you know, left brain all his life, and somehow this is all coming to the surface. His experience with hypnotherapy that led him to see the side that he never saw, understood. And I guess then he reached out to me to understand a little bit more about spirituality. So it's been an interesting journey with John here. And I'm so grateful, and I'm so happy to see or be with you on this journey and see what you have done. And you're sharing your story, and you've written a book called Whispers from Beyond.
Whispers from Beyond.
Prior to that, I recall when we were first still doing the healing journey sessions, and you had told me you had incorporated spirituality into your practice, and you found out there was better connection with your patients. But something else you also told me, that your wife said to you, "What happened to my husband? What did you do to him?" Can you share a little bit about that?
He commented one evening, "Who are you and what have you done with my husband?" So there is an obvious shift in my overall being, really, because I was always that scientist. You know, I had to prove each and every little thing. She was quite comfortable with that and quite happy with that. And now I'm different, very clearly. She's getting used to me now, again.
In what way would you say are you different?
Well, I'm much more spiritual. One of the things is that there are a lot of things in life that don't seem to matter so much. I mean, the things that really matter to me now are very basic things. I have a mantra that I've developed over a number of years. I taught a course with someone, an introduction to mindfulness and meditation. We did that for about 5 years. And working through that, I came up with a mantra that was just to treat yourself first and then others with love, compassion, respect, truth, and without judgment. And those are kind of core values. And if we live within the boundaries of our own true self, our own belief system, our own value system, we can be happy. If we're forced to live outside those boundaries, we're not going to be happy. if we live our lives trying to find validation and love externally, it'll never fill the emptiness that is inside. So the solution to all of that is internal connection with Source, God, Creator, Universe, whatever name you want to use. And your comments triggered some other earlier experience that I've seen a lot of patients in very difficult circumstances. Some of them at life's end. And over the years, I learned that if a patient had a strong faith, they did better. Their outcomes were better. They got through it more easily. It didn't matter, it seemed to me at least, what the faith was. And the act of believing seems to have strength. And I also wonder now if, regardless of faith designation, are we all not just trying to describe the same energy, the same being? Is it a being? Is it a vibrational energy of love? I don't know. My science brain gets, you know, mixed in with trying to assess that. But I've told people, I've a growing sizable maybe shell. So when things come up and I don't understand them, in the past as a scientist, well, it's not proven, so I just reject it. Now it goes on my maybe shelf for future consideration because you just don't know. It may be.
So would you say prior you going into this spiritual journey, did you follow any faith?
No. Well, I was brought up in the United Church, and we stopped taking our children to church very soon after we got to town, because some of the things that they were teaching, especially teaching our children in Sunday school, were not things that I could accept easily.
Okay.
And although my spirituality has grown because of what my patients have taught me and my shared journeys with them, my spirituality has been on a continuous growth path, but it has not included traditional church religion.
Faith, yeah.
Boundaries. So I see spirituality and religion as being not the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that spirituality and what I'm learning is very, very important, very core to our being. And in fact, I think we are spiritual beings having a human journey, and we're not humans having a spiritual experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's a shift for me. It's a big shift for me.
I always teach my clients that are doing the healing journey program to do healing for themselves and also do remote healing. But I think with you, I actually taught you much earlier than most other clients, because I felt that you're in a position that you can do some healing, so you might as well, I guess, jump steps with you. So
I did say that at the time. I do remember it. I don't usually do this, but I think you are ready for this. And I've been doing it ever since.
Yeah. And I, you know, I have seen, honestly, the profound impact and effect of remote healing. I even have a client who said to me, "Oh, you know, I'd rather come to you in person." Like, she was visiting from overseas, and her friend was bringing her here, and she thought in person was much more effective. But eventually, her friend could not bring her, so she had no choice but to do it remotely. And the first session, she said, "Whoa, you gave me a really strong nudge. Okay, I believe you. It does work." So now, when you do remote healing with your patients, do you follow up shortly after at all? To
That's variable. If I do have the opportunity to follow up, then yes. I don't always have that circumstance. For instance, there's somebody working around the house today, and I just learned that there are a couple people in his wife's family who have some significant health diagnoses. I will include them when I do my meditation tonight. I will include them in my healing circle and send them energy, even though I've never met them. And when I'm doing that, you would know, but I'm always amazed. The intensity of what I feel in my hands changes from person to person, from circumstance to circumstance. And there are times I can feel very powerful what I feel, like a pulling of my energy. So I get a sense that something is happening. I treasure those moments when I do have the ability to follow up and get feedback to say, yes, it has helped.
Before we close, we're coming to a close now. I want to thank you. And so I just want to ask, your book, Beyond the Whispers, is available on Amazon?
Whispers from Beyond. It's on Amazon.
So thank you. And I just wanted to share with the audience that for those of you who have not experienced spirituality, just keep your mind open and see where it can take you, because it can only help you and guide you to, I would say our guides keep us safe too. And when we are troubled with any life challenges, all we have to do is go within and talk to our inner guidance, our spirit guides, that can take us to a place that we need to be. So thank you so much for joining us today. And it's been such a pleasure going on this journey with you. And I'm sure our journey is going to continue even more stronger.
I think so. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.